Have you ever noticed the phrase in Christ or in whom or in him or through Christ? Those two words, in Christ, are used about 229 times in the New Testament. And I think all those words together, all those different phrases, adding them all up, I think it's over 300 times in the New Testament. Not exactly sure on that. But what does it mean to be in Christ? Or is it important to be in Christ? Why is it important to be in Christ? And what happens if someone is not in Christ? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit thought it was important to be in Christ, for those words were used 200 plus times, 200 or 300 times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, is a familiar passage. Maybe you could even quote it by me giving the reference to you, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But have you ever noticed those two words, in Christ? What does that mean to be in Christ? Well, let's read the passage here, the verse. I'm going to read verse 17 and the first phrase of verse 18. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So here in this verse, it says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, we don't know what it means to be in Christ yet, maybe, but we do know that those who are in Christ will be a new creature. And the word creature there could also be translated creation. The Greek word there can sometimes is used as creature or sometimes as creation, either way. And, of course, in the King James it says creature here. But a very legitimate translation would be creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. So here to be in Christ, whatever that means, they're going to be a new creature or a new creation. Old things will be passed away. All things will become new, and all things are of God. So what does it mean there to that all old things are passed away? Well, I don't believe it's talking about wrinkles. If I have wrinkles in my face from being older, or those kind of things, physical things like wrinkles or maybe bad teeth or things like that. But I think it's talking about our old life, our old way of thinking, our old desires, our old dreams even, our old visions and goals and things in our life. Those things will be passed away. All things will become new. We'll have new visions, new goals, new dreams, new plans, new work to do, things like that will be new because we are in Christ. And all things are of God. Instead of my thought pattern being after the world, instead of my thought pattern maybe even be after religious things, my thought, my life around either the world or even around religious things. All things are of God now. And you might say, well, you know, my thoughts are about God. You know, we talk about who had their first date on their date night, and we talk about who was in the church that got married, or who was in the church that died, or, you know, who's in the church that has a good business. You know, it's all about God. But no, those things aren't, it's not about God. That's about your community. That's about your the people you know or the people you don't even know. It's about things like that. And where it says all things are of God, I believe is talking about our conversation, our lifestyle, everything about us, our thought pattern will be about God, about His Word, about what is important to God and things like that. And that doesn't mean we can't talk about our business or our farm or whatever, but that'll take second place, third place. It'll be way down the list or way down the line as far as our time and our thoughts concerning the things of God. Our mind will be on earthly things. It won't be on carnal things. Our thoughts will be heavenward and not earthly. That's what I believe it is talking about here. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. That verse then continues, and it says, who hath reconciled us, God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So there it's not in Christ, but it's by Christ. On this little phrase, it says, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Well, how did God the Father reconcile us humans to himself by Jesus Christ? Well, it was what Jesus did for us, and how he died for us, and how he gave his life for us, and how he was an example and walked in this earth for us. He that hath, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Isaiah 53, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, or with his stripes, we are healed. And that's how Jesus Christ reconciled us to the Father. It was by what Jesus did, dying on the cross, paying the price for your sin and my sin. It wasn't for his sin that he died on the cross. It was because we are sinners, and we deserve to die, even a worse death than that. We deserve to die and suffer in hell for all eternity, but Jesus Christ paid the price, as it says here in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why did it please the Father to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ? It was because he loved you, and he loved me, and he loved the whole world. He hath put him to grief. He hath put Jesus to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus was made an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Father shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It goes on there and says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ bore our iniquities, and God the Father saw the travail of his soul, the payment that was made, and he was satisfied so that you and I can live, so we are reconciled to God the Father by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ. So that should be inspiring and an inspiration to you today. It is to me to see fresh and anew what Jesus Christ has done for you and for I. So we don't know yet what it means to be in Christ. At least I haven't defined it. If you know what it is, and I sure wish I could hear, you know, your thoughts. But we're going to, in the next few days, we're going to talk about that, being in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ, and why is that important for you and for I to be in Christ? So God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, and Lord willing, we'll speak again tomorrow.